where entrepreneurs come to grow. It's Passage to Profit with Richard and Elizabeth Gearhart.
So Michael Greenberg asks the question, can you automate chaos and will AI help? And the answer is no.
And you can automate chaos. I disagree with
it. I don't think so. So Michael, welcome to the show.
I think chaos finds a home anywhere you work.
So. You have thirdbrain.co. Please tell us what you're all about.
So we help legacy and Main Street businesses get AI ready. And then use automation and AI to ultimately improve their bottom line, but in the process, achieve consistency, clarity, and capacity in their work.
So is this like garbage in, garbage out?
That is in my book several times. And that is exactly what happens when you try to automate on top of a shaky foundation.
And what's the name of your book?
The Digital Operations Playbook.
So if somebody wants to automate a process, what steps should they go through to organize the chaos in a way that AI can be successfully applied?
So I think there's sort of three pieces to this. First, you want to actually know what the process is. So if it changes every time you do it, if you don't have some sort of recipe or SOP, a set of documentation that describes it, you're going to have difficulty automating it. And with clients, we often talk about this as flowcharts and checklists. So you draw out the steps, and every time there's a step where you know certain things have to be done, you have the checklist. And you go through that, and a flowchart really only has a few shapes that it can end up being. It might be a triangle, it might be a line, it might be a circle. Outside of that, if it's any other shape, we've got a problem.
But isn't that easier said than done, though? I mean, at least on the legal side of things, we do try to think through our processes and we can do it on a pretty general level. But then as you get more and more specific, every situation changes because, you know, the facts are different, the people are different. How do you actually do it so that it's effective?
That leads me to the second piece of that puzzle, which is having the right data in place. Those cases, they might only be triggered by certain things. Oh, if a client has a business partner, you may need a different process to deal with that client than if they're a single individual. Mm-hmm. What you want to do through this process is make sure that any automation, any AI has access to the data it needs in order to make those determinations at the right time. And if it doesn't have access to that data, then it has to stop and call out to a human or another process that can pull in that information for it. My favorite example to use for this is something we've all experienced, which is calling around or submitting forms on websites to try to get a quote. And that might be for a cleaning service. It might be for getting a new retaining wall. I'm sure you get one or two of these every week that you've got to go out and search for. When you do that, let's say you're using a website form. You're filling out some details on a form, and that information might include your address. It might include your business. That can then be passed to an AI, like Perplexity or Gemini from Google. And it can then do some basic research based on those details. And depending on the type of business, it might even be able to send you back a quote. For example, we have a lot of clients in lawn care. And I love lawn care for this because every parcel in the US, at least, has good mapping through GPS. And what we can actually do is if our clients use tools either that we've built, and there's a number of off-the-shelf tools for this as well, they can estimate and send a quote back immediately simply based on the address. Because from the satellite view, you can tell how much lawn any particular lot has and then quote for mowing or grass cutting or other services like that. That allows us to go from, oh, you submit the form or you call them, you book a time, guy comes out, he walks your space, he figures it out, to 5 minutes later, you've got a quote.
That's scary. I mean, it's good, though, I guess.
No, that's a great application.
It is a great application.
I would have never even thought of doing that.
If you had a Roomba, the house cleaning services could do the same thing. They could probably go on Zillow and see how many bedrooms and bathrooms and figure out a quote, right, for house cleaning?
You know, that's how my cleaning service did it. And then I called him back and I said, hey, you got the whole house, but I only want you to do the first floor. Here's the information from the tax office. Notice I've got half the space that you quoted. And lo and behold, I ended up getting my quote reduced by 50%.
So is that just like standard now in these kinds of services where, you know, they have to quote based on, you know, geography or lot size or whatever?
Yeah, whenever they can, just because there's so much data and research that says the faster you come back with the quote, the faster you respond to them, the more likely you are to close the sale. And that goes across all home services, across all types of businesses. It B2B and law, I'm sure it's very similar where somebody might be calling five offices and the first one that responds and sets up a time or gets them the information is the one that wins. I've seen this everywhere from B2B software companies to professional services to accounting to landscaping to painting and everything in between.
We're going through our CRM process right now with an AI enabler, I guess is what I'd call them, and our fractional COO. And we are parsing that thing down to its atomic level. It seems like every teeny tiny little detail. Is that pretty much what you have to do to implement AI?
I am lucky in the fact that we have built a bunch of tools at Third Brain to make that process much faster and easier. But the short answer is yes. The longer answer is that for most businesses, they are of a type of business that is already very well documented, mm-hmm. and you don't need to be inventing everything from scratch. So for most of our clients, we can say, oh, you're a $20 million a year food manufacturing business, and you sell only wholesale. Knowing these things, we know 85, 90% of the way your business operates. And that makes the work quite a bit easier in the process.
One thing I wanted to do to delineate some of these processes was to have somebody screen record while they did a task. Can the AI read that and process that and use that?
Absolutely. In specific, Claude is probably the worst at that of the various AI out of the box. Google Gemini can do it for, I think, up to 45-minute videos quite well. And then Codex from OpenAI, their desktop app, it can pause the video at different screens and do a similar thing.
But there is software out there that's available that is outside the LLMs that allows you to do screen recording and keystroke recording. And then you could theoretically upload that information into an LLM and analyze it.
Absolutely.
Are there practical limits, though, to the size, you know, the amount of data that an LLM could analyze?
So yes and no. You know, you can always chop it into smaller chunks. Maybe you've got a process or a workflow that end-to-end takes 2 or 3 hours. In reality, once you get to something that long, there's actually a lot of individual steps and pieces. And so if you can go over, say, just the transcript initially and identify that, oh, this 3-hour thing is actually 8 smaller things, then you can atomize it and break it down into those component parts.
Wow. Yeah. So Dr. LaPuma, do you have any questions or comments for Michael?
I do. I think Michael's work is fascinating. And I understand you're a cyclist, and I love the trips to farmers markets on weekends, by the way. That's the right way to do it. What's the difference between a codex that is an individual agentic coding that you can use as a standalone agent and the Claude agent that resides on your MacBook as well?
So essentially, same product category, different brands. I think a lot of people will talk about sort of Anthropic as the Apple of AI right now, though I think Apple is becoming the Apple of AI pretty quickly. So with Claude and Anthropic, you've got Claude Code and Cowork. And with ChatGPT and with OpenAI, you've got Codex and Work, I think is what they call it. And with the OpenAI version, they're actually the same tools under the hood as of their latest update. And so it's just a change in the interface on how much coding stuff it shows. With Claude and with Claude Cowork versus Claude Code, they actually are quite different tools. And I think generally speaking, I prefer Claude Code. Then again, I spent the first part of my career as a coder. For most people, Claude Cowork is much more friendly to use. And once you get set up in something like Claude Cowork, you can use projects.
You mentioned that Codec was good at analyzing video and stopping individual videos, but Claude was bad at it.
It's not quite bad. so much as it's not as good at it. Codex and the latest version of ChatGPT are just very good at using computers to click around and navigate, whereas Claude is pretty good at it, but slower and much more expensive to do the same thing.
Yeah, I just want to interject that right now it is 2026. So who knows how long this will be true. It's true today.
About a month, I think.
Okay.
But I wanted to ask one more question. What is the one thing you would tell businesses that they should know about adopting AI processes?
The old adage, ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure, probably applies 10x here. So getting your processes in order, getting your data in order, getting your company up to the modern day before AI makes everything easier to then apply AI on top of it. And we often talk with our clients about two cycles. Cycle one is getting you AI ready. And then cycle two is really applying the AI and getting the flywheel going grow the business.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. We're talking to Michael Greenberg. Thank you very much. You can find him at Third Brain, the number 3rdbrain.co, and his book, The Digital Operations Playbook. So very timely book for the time we're in now. Thank you, Michael. Is there any other way people can get a hold of you?
You can find me on Twitter, now X, and LinkedIn at GentofTech. GentofTech.
Great. Thank you.
If you enjoyed this episode, subscribe to the podcast and leave a quick review. Also, follow us on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and X, and subscribe to our YouTube channel for bonus content.
Learn more at PassageToProfitShow.com.